Welcome to the very first episode of the Dutch and Scott Sportscast. Today, we'd like to introduce ourselves and give a little welcome to our podcast. My name is Matthijs Timmermans. I am from the Netherlands, and my Twitter handle is Matthijs_T_. I will be hosting this podcast with my Scottish friend, Rory.
Hi, I'm Rory, from Glasgow, and my Twitter is @Rory_Allen16.
And together we will take you through the latest news in football, mainly football, but also other types of sports. For us, it's the first time we've ever done such a project, but together we think we'll do quite well.
Hopefully, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's the hope to at least get some sort of, you know, podcast going, talk about our passion, which is football, mainly European football, of course our domestic leagues, our background in football, and much more to come.
Yeah, so in the first episode we've got coming for you, a look into how COVID's affected football in both the Netherlands and Scotland, and how it's affected world football and where we go from here. And then we'll finish off with a bit of fun with some really, really, really early predictions of what's going to happen next season if it goes ahead as planned.
Well, let's hope it will.
Yeah. So, Matthijs, Dutch football, how's it coped?
So, after the whole coronavirus outbreak, the general situation in the Netherlands was quite laid back, quite relaxed, also maybe quite naive, because most of the people here were like, it might happen, but we won't make such a big deal out of it. And it happened, and we made quite a big deal out of it. So for general life, it meant that schools were closed, universities were closed, restaurants were closed, and quite a big drastic change in daily life. But after March for most European leagues that the football got cancelled. Same thing happened here. Football got cancelled, and it didn't restart again, as you might know. So quite a drastic movement, quite a drastic measure by the Dutch FA to completely stop all football. And it isn't going to restart anymore. They've completely scrapped it. No more football. So a few interesting things to note here are that before the football got cancelled, people were quite, you know, like naive, like I said. I think same thing applies to Scotland, maybe.
To an extent. I mean, I think that was more of a UK problem. I think the UK kind of took a natural kind of stance of, we'll just see how it happens, play it by ear, and we eventually went into lockdown. But, yeah. What happened with the... So what was the league decision in the Netherlands?
So what happened was that the Dutch FA decided to cancel all football with a first desire to continue after the situation would cool down a bit. And then after a little while, there was this sudden public kind of desire, kind of like a public feeling for maybe we shouldn't continue the football again. Out of the blue, journalists, public figures, the leading directors at the Dutch football clubs, as you know, Ajax, Edwin van der Sar is the current director, and Mark Overmars is the current technical director. Both of them kind of implied that they thought that football should have been cancelled before, and football should be cancelled for the rest of the season. Same thing happened at AZ, who were, with Ajax, the leaders in the league table. They both were on the same amount of points and both had a very, very good chance of winning the title, where Ajax lost against AZ twice, home and away. But together, all of the clubs decided to cancel the football completely. And it's been cancelled completely in the end as well. So the approach that the Dutch FA took was to say there's no champion. So that makes sense. Ajax and AZ were on the same amount of points. So in theory, there was very little opposition when it comes to this. Now AZ have kind of been making a fuss about it because they feel like they should have been given the title since they beat Ajax twice. But, you know, in the Netherlands, in the Eredivisie, the league title is not decided by games against each other, but by goal difference, which Ajax had a better goal difference. So fair enough, they were on top of the league. And in that order, the Champions League and Europa League tickets got divided. So Ajax got the better Champions League ticket. And AZ are unhappy with how this has been dealt with, and they're going to go to the UEFA court to try to get some sort of arrangement for them to get the better European ticket. And on the other side of the coin, looking at the bottom of the table, RKC Waalwijk and ADO Den Haag, ADO Den Haag, the team that Alan Pardew was the manager of, which you might have seen, right?
Yes.
He didn't really get them going very well.
Not surprised, to be honest.
It was such a weird move, but he came in with so much promises, saying, "Oh, we're going to do so well. We're going to keep this team in the league," and a plethora of English and players from the United Kingdom in general came to Den Haag to start playing for them, and it became such a foreigners league, and with people from that have never been to the Netherlands before, maybe. And it was such a weird situation. But apart from that, they were doing they were doing bad, and they weren't going to stay up, probably, with about 7 to 8 games to go still. That can also be said for RKC Waalwijk, who were even worse off with even less points. So what the Dutch FA have decided is that there will be no relegation, though. So in the case of RKC and ADO, this was good news. Because, yeah.
But does that not then negatively affect whoever was top of the second division?
Yeah, so that's where a very interesting situation comes in. RKC and ADO were going to stay in the Eredivisie. So they weren't going to get relegated. But in the division below, which is, prepare for this one, the Keukenkampioendivisie.
It's an interesting one.
Which, the former first division. But Keukenkampioendivisie is a sponsored name which literally translates to the Kitchen Champions Division. and the Kitchen Champion is a big store that, surprisingly sells kitchens. It's an interesting sponsorship. But in this division, De Graafschap and SC Cambuur were running away with the league, and the top two teams in this league got promoted. So what happened was that there was going to be no promotion. There was, for a while, a small debate that there would be promotion, but no relegation. So next season, the Eredivisie would start with 20 teams. But for some reason, they didn't think this would be a good idea, because by Dutch law, there will be no gathered events, no festivals, no sporting events until the 1st of September. So that would have meant that from the 1st of September to, let's say, June, there would have been more games than usual scheduled and less games than usual in the division below. And both parties were unhappy with this, so therefore they decided to not include 20 teams in the highest division. So they decided this, and, unsurprisingly, De Graafschap and Cambuur were unhappy with this, because they were running away with the league and it would have gone promoted, pretty much for certain. They took it to court, and they lost.
Ah.
So there will be no promotion relegation. They have been very active on social media, just stating their opinion, like activating their supporters, trying to get some positivity going. Which like also that's difficult if you're in the situation that they are. But
Course.
yeah, there will be some hard feelings next year. Whenever supporters can re-enter the stadiums, there will be some protests, I'm sure of it, but like they have decided it, it's not going to change anymore. And another interesting thing is that we haven't mentioned many teams, because many teams are like all right with the whole situation, because the thing that has happened, the whole COVID-19 outbreak, it is very difficult for everyone involved, and whatever would have happened, some teams would have been unhappy. Like, you cannot please everyone. But then there is also the cup final, and I don't know what the deal with the cup final is in Scotland.
Oh, it's not been decided fully, I don't believe.
Yeah,
I
same
don't
thing
think
here.
it's going
Yeah, same thing
ahead.
here. And they've been thinking of many weird different constructions, because FC Utrecht were in the cup final against Feyenoord. And usually the cup final is played at the Kuip in Rotterdam, Feyenoord Stadium. But FC Utrecht feel like this is unfair, and also they still want to play that cup final. And an interesting proposition that was made was to play it on the Dutch Caribbean island of Bonaire.
Oh.
yeah, it's a there's a stadium which can fit like just over 1,000 people.
Get away, day.
yeah, I mean, if you can fly, but
Cost you a fair bit.
it's a fake pitch as well, and no one will know what's going to happen yet. It's something to keep an eye on, because it's quite interesting. It would be a cool Caribbean Cup final, unique, and I would love to see it happen on one hand, but on the other hand, it shouldn't. So, you know about the situation in the Netherlands now. What is the situation like in Scotland? How did they deal with it?
Well, Scotland, of course, like everywhere else in the world, we're a little later than everywhere else. That we won't get into politics, but in Scotland, obviously, the football was cancelled, and there was a hope that it would continue. There
Yeah,
was a feeling that,
same thing here,
yeah, there was always a sort of feeling at the back of everyone's minds of, it isn't really going to happen. So things were flying about what was going to happen, and the SPFL came up with a proposition whereby the leagues would be completed. Positions would be decided by points per game average. So it means that teams who have played more games or less games, it doesn't affect it, it's points per game.
All right.
Or an average points system, and if that I mean that Celtic would be champions, Hearts would be relegated, Dundee United would be promoted, so would then be relegated from the Championship to League One, be promoted to Championship, Stranraer would be relegated to League Two, and Cove Rangers would be promoted to League One. So the vote was meant to take place. All the votes went to be in for 5 o'clock. A lot of clubs had already announced before it. Like my club, Morton, had announced that they were going to vote for the proposition. A lot of clubs had voted that they would, because it means that the money, the award money for where they finished, would be handed out. Aside from one or two, the main opposers were Hearts, Thistle, Stranraer, and Inverness, funnily
So
enough.
basically, the teams that would like not benefit from the situation.
Basically, yeah. Well, the ones who had, they would be relegated and probably lose money and stuff over the head of it. And Inverness were against it, because I think they wanted playoffs, like the chance to get promoted. They felt they had a good shot. So the votes were coming in, and it was announced that one other club hadn't voted in the championship. Well, no, actually, it had been announced that one other club had voted for no in the championship, which would mean that the whole proposition would be scrapped. And it was later announced the club was Dundee. There's a lot of celebrations from Partick Thistle fans and Hearts fans, etc. And then it got to 5 o'clock and there was no announcement, nothing. Everyone was left in the dark. And we found out that Dundee hadn't submitted a vote.
So they completely voided the vote.
Well, yes and no. It turned out through regulator, through like the terms and conditions of the vote, clubs had like 2 weeks to vote. It was just the SPFL had asked them to vote by 5 o'clock on that day, which seems very strange. And the SPFL announced that everyone's voted apart from Dundee. Then Dundee announced, "We sent you a vote," and they were like, "Well, we didn't get it." So everyone was like, "Well, what's going on then?" So then Dundee thought that Dundee were just going to say, and that'd be that. But then Dundee decided that were a bit longer and left everyone in the dark for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Through all of this, the other team I forgot to mention who were against it were Rangers because they didn't want Celtic winning the title.
Yeah, I was just like curious about the public consensus about the fact that Celtic were handed the title, because here, like I said, with Ajax, they didn't get the title, but it was quite obvious why not. But Celtic were
Yeah.
running away with it, so what is like the
13
general
points
feeling?
ahead. The argument Rangers had was that they had a game in hand and an Old Firm still to play, so that's a potential 6 points on the table to pull back. But speaking from watching their form just before lockdown, it was looking like a Celtic runaway again. So I don't really see. I understand why Rangers are opposing the title because they don't want their biggest rival getting 9 in a row and setting themselves up to get a 10 and a 10th in a row.
I mean, yeah, fair enough, right?
From a non exactly, but from a non-biased kind of mutual standpoint as a Morton fan, I could understand. I think it was the fairest thing for Celtic after. So during the whole time where we were waiting on Dundee to give their vote, stuff about Hearts going on about they wanted to get reconstruction done. Rangers were accusing the SPFL of bullying Dundee and bullying different clubs, etc., and actually released a statement saying that
I've seen that on Twitter.
it was quite funny. Rangers put a statement on the caption to the statement on the tweet was hashtag Rangers FC will not be bullied into silence, and there was a lot going on. It was an interesting time in Scottish football
It is
Twitter
a
history.
provocative title to put on social media, indeed.
Well, as yeah, and they wanted to, they I don't know, they wanted to have an independent inquest and investigations done and stuff because the eventual vote was that Dundee done a full U-turn and voted for yes at the end of this long 2 weeks. And then the SPFL agreed to Anne Budge, who's the Hearts owner, that they would listen to for reconstruction. They would put a team of chairmen from all the leagues into a reconstruction committee and they can discuss and come up with a plan for reconstruction in Scotland and clubs would have a vote on it. So they did this. The main one that looked like it was going through was changing it from the current 12 10 10 10 league system to a 14 14 14 league system, which would mean no promotions or relegations. It would just like there wouldn't be anyone that would lose out on relegations. The other proposal was it would be a temporary thing. It would be just two seasons at 14 14 14, then it'd pull back to the 12 10 10 10.
And what was the reason behind the whole reconstruction idea?
Anne Budge didn't want Hearts to get relegated.
Oh, that's where pretty much where it came from.
Pretty much. And there's been various, I know, just speaking again from a Morton perspective, as a Morton fan, there was a recent interview with our chairman, Dave McKinnon, where he basically said that he wasn't for the whole 2 year temporary thing because it would mean at the end of the 2 back to the 12, 10, 10, 10, four teams would have to get relegated from the second tier, which doesn't seem very fair. So he wasn't happy with that at all. And so when it came to the vote, it was voted out. One other reason for this is going down to the lower leagues. Scotland has a weird system where we have a Highland and a Lowland League. And the winners of the Highland and Lowland League then play a game against each other. The winner of that game then plays bottom place in League Two. And if they win, they get promoted. If they lose, they stay down.
Yeah, I've seen something like that before. It wasn't the last winner of that Cove Rangers now in League
Yeah,
Two?
just like the last season. This season, there was two teams running away with the respective Highland and Lowland League. There was Brora Rangers and there was Kelty Hearts. And Brechin are bottom of League Two. And it's not very fair that they didn't really get the chance to try and get promoted. But as well as so the other league reconstruction idea would be 14, 14, 16, and would include Brora and Kelty Hearts. And that. So after all the a lot of squabbling and a lot of fighting, it's just been decided the SPFL put their foot down. The vote's through. The vote's done. Celtic are the champions of Scotland. Dundee United are getting promoted alongside Raith Rovers into the Championship and Cove Rangers into League One and Hearts, Partick Thistle and Stranraer are getting relegated into their respective leagues.
It's quite a good run of
However,
leagues.
yeah, it's been it, for like, there's a few big names that are going down. Thistle have had a bit of a shocker the last few seasons, and Hearts going down is a bit of a shock. No one could have predicted that at the start of the season, but as well as you can't predict a pandemic, can you? So
True.
the last kind of twist in the tail at the minute is Rangers have put in a proposal to try and include Colt teams in the Scottish divisions, which are the kind of equivalent to the likes of Barcelona B type things. So
Oh,
we'd have
man.
Celtic and Rangers Colts in the lower leagues of Scottish football.
Yeah, you know the system that we have in the Netherlands, right? With the young teams.
Yeah.
So it's kind of basically like because in our KeukenKampioen-divisie, so the first division, we have young PSV, young Ajax, young AZ, and young Utrecht, and then the few leagues below also include some young teams, but the leagues below are semi-professional. So they don't
Okay.
really, I mean, you have the second division below the first division, but between the first and second division, there is no promotion or relegation,
Okay.
because of like financial reasons for a lot of the teams in the division, in the second division. There has been a consensus that it should happen, but coming back to the second teams, I can tell for a fact that the opposition against them here is very big. And I think the same thing would apply to Scotland. The teams themselves are happy with it, but the
Yeah.
fans not so much.
I'm sure Celtic and Rangers would love it, but I think a lot of lower league clubs aren't too keen on it. There's a lot of talk about how it's like just as beneficial to put your starlets out on loan to lower league clubs to help benefit the lower league clubs, and would mean that you wouldn't have to play. Colts. I think a lot of teams as well. I think there's a bit of an underlying sense of it's a bit embarrassing almost. It's a bit of a kind of belittling type thing. You're a fan of a club and you get to play the B team. You don't get to play the big team. You
Yeah,
get to play the B team.
there is these things that like the B teams or the young teams as we call them, they get like the big young players and they grow big from there. There was this one time that Ajax were playing, I think it was Cambuur in the last game of the season, and Cambuur were going to get relegated, and the Ajax supporters were singing, "Next year it will be young Ajax for you."
Yeah.
But a few examples of like players that have come through like from these teams are, for example, Frenkie de Jong,
Okay.
Matthijs de Ligt at Ajax, who I mean, like look where they are now. They started in young Ajax
But again,
in
would
Den
they
Haag.
would do you think they would have been equally successful had they been out on loan, for example, at FC Eindhoven?
I'm not sure because like the thing for them is like if they are at the club, they can still be selected for the first team.
Yeah.
And if you're on loan, I mean, you're on loan for a season, you can be recalled, but it's unlikely. So it would help definitely the player if he was at a different team, but I think it's also very, very good for their development if they are still at their like parent club, pretty
Yeah.
much. And like
I mean,
with
the
PSV,
cult teams do exist. They play
yeah.
in the reserve leagues, but it's this whole idea of getting them into the professional pyramid.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. When it happened here, there was a lot of opposition to the idea. Like many, many, many people disagreed, and it took a long time to get it through. But it was kind of based off the Spanish system. And Feyenoord, for example, they abstained and they didn't want to have their B team in these divisions. But now, like the B team league, which still exists, where like that includes the likes of Feyenoord, FC Twente. Groningen, for example, and a few other teams, they're still in this league, but the competition is so low and so bad that a lot
Yeah.
of them kind of regret not like getting the opportunity or taking the opportunity to get their B team involved.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing as well for me is that in the championship in Scotland is extremely competitive. You'll know from me rambling on about Morton that it's happened and it's everyone hates each other, everyone it's fantastic in terms of competition, but I feel if there was, if instead of playing Inverness or Queen of the South, you're playing Celtic B or Rangers B, it wouldn't have the same sort of competitive edge to it because you're playing a bunch of youngsters who aren't as passionate. It's like, yeah, okay, this is good for them. They're playing for Celtic B, but they want to play for Celtic. They're not going to give their all for Celtic B. They want to play for Celtic. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, true, true. Same thing can be said for the teams here, but
Yeah.
what I mentioned before, there are some big talents who really came from these teams. For PSV, for example, you have Memphis Depay, who started there, and there are so many good examples. And I don't know if you remember him, Vincent Janssen. He started at Jong AZ and Almere
Is
City as
it
well, but.
does it affect the level of football? Because it's like I think the thing I was trying to kind of getting across with the championship thing is that if you've got a team like, for example, look at Air United at the minute. They've been trying the last 2 seasons. They've been kind of playoff kind of region, which is a bit out of their depth. Now every player at that team, other than maybe one or two loans, are at the level of Air United, and this is the highest they've been, and they want to try and get to the Prem, both to try and get to the Premiership, so they can kind of reach that sort of height in football. Whereas I feel if it was a bunch of 20, 19, 20-year-olds who play for Celtic anyway, you're just playing for the B team. You're not going to give your heart and soul to try and reach the Premiership because there's a chance if you're in playing for the B that you're going to get to the Premiership anyway one day.
Yeah, the thing is that I think it was 2 seasons ago here that Jong Ajax actually won the first division. And I mean, it's weird because the whole celebration and the whole lead up to the championship was anticipated, but it was not as major. Like for example, the team that finished in second place, Fortuna Sittard, actually got promoted. They had a sellout stadium, 10,000 supporters came, and it was a big match for them, and they celebrated it like they won the league. And also, like, I think we shouldn't forget that the championship in Scotland has 10 teams and the first division in the Netherlands has 20. So there's a difference there as well.
Does it feels almost like it would be kind of like just kind of filler teams, do you know what I mean? Because obviously Ajax, young Ajax win the league, they don't get promoted. So it doesn't really matter all that much. Do you know what I mean?
I mean I think that's true.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. When you play Ajax, young Ajax, it's like, if you and if you're a, if I'm, for example, Morton at the top of the league, only, Rangers Colts were also at the top, but we're both fighting for top. And we lose to them,
and a nail biter. We don't really care that much because Rangers Colts can't get promoted. Win or lose, we're promoted. It doesn't matter. The competition's lost. Whereas if it's Inverness we're competing to go up against, and we lose in the final clutch game, Inverness go up, we stay down, and it's heartbreaking. It's horrible, but that's the whole point. It's all about competition. You've got teams in the leagues that cannot get to the Premiership. It takes away from the competition.
Yeah, the competition element will never be the same,
Yeah.
but I think for development it can really benefit you, but you
Yeah,
will
yeah.
never like really experience the stress and the emotion that comes with winning a league title for an actual team, getting promoted with like a
Exactly.
local club, which you wouldn't experience there.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that like the level of football and the passion cannot be there,
Yeah.
but it's a tricky one.
It's a difficult one, but I mean, obviously, I think it's just a kind of a look at Scotland as a national team. Not been very successful, you could say
Well,
that.
yeah, I mean, the national team
So, yeah.
here, I mean, I guess benefited from this decision because we've kind of had a resurgence over the past few years, but we will see what will happen because no European Cup this year, so we'll have to wait.
Yeah. I mean, it's yeah. I think it's just they're trying to do something fresh, something new to try and improve the national team. But it's a difficult, it's a tricky one. Do we sacrifice competition for the sake of the national team, or do we? Cause, or do we keep competition and continue to try? Because I mean, it's not like we're not producing good players. Andrew Robertson, look at him at Liverpool. He came through the Scottish Lower Leagues, played for
Queen's
Queen's
Park, right?
Park, and then
Yeah,
went off to
yeah,
Dundee United, Hull City, Liverpool. You know,
yeah.
a lot of the players in the Scottish team, aside from the likes of your Scott McTominay's, have came through the Scottish team's perfectly fine. And it's not, as I say, it's not like we've not produced good players. We just don't seem to produce enough of them at one time.
Yeah, I mean.
Or we produce them all in one position. We've got so many good left backs.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, like, was it Kieran Tierney, Andrew Robertson, both left backs,
Yep.
right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
both left backs. Although Tierney's a bit more adaptable, he can play centre back, right back,
Yeah.
centre back, and goalkeeper. We're really, really starting to struggle in.
I do remember this one time when Andrew Robertson was on the radar at PSV. They really wanted to sign him when he was at Hull City, but then for some reason he decided to go to Liverpool.
You'd wonder why, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you can play for such a magnificent club
Oh,
as PSV.
I know. Yeah, of course.
But I mean, enough said on this topic. We will see where it's going to take us and what the decision will be, because I mean, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, I mean, I'll update you in future. But yeah, it's a new topic that's came, well, not new, it's been kind of boiling for a while, but it looks like they're going to try and get a vote pushed through about again, for it and see what happens. There's voices on both ends. A lot of pundits and stuff who are for it, a lot of that against it, so we just need to wait and see what happens with that one. But enough said about Colts, moving on with on to the rest of Europe and how the other leagues have reacted. Of course, we've seen the Bundesliga has been back for a little while. We've got the Spanish league that's just back, and we've got the English league coming back. We've got leagues all across Europe, either coming back, already back, aside from, I believe it's just France, Belgium, Netherlands, and Scotland that have stopped
Yeah,
at the minute.
I've made the little list online,
Yep.
which we're just going to like walk through one
Yep.
by one, see what happened.
Yep.
So starting off with Austria,
Yeah.
which started again on the 2nd of June. So a trend that we're going to see right now is that many leagues have restarted again.
Yeah.
And what happened in Austria was that LASK were the team that were like on top of the league after like a 10-year domination by Red Bull Salzburg, but they've got deducted a lot of points and now find themselves in second position in the league, and they just lost to Red Bull. So it seems like there will be another league victory for Red Bull in Austria.
Yeah. They don't just win the Austrian Cup as well. So,
Yeah, they did.
yeah. I seen that, the whole social distancing celebration. Did you see that?
Yeah, I mean,
That was a bit
sometimes.
strange. Yeah.
That's
Strange
strange.
to see. So the next one was Belarus on the list, which never cancelled. So a controversial decision. It just continued on, didn't it?
Yeah, President Lukashenko gave the genius advice to drink more vodka.
I mean, it's always good advice.
I mean, depends, depends. For maybe the people there, yeah.
And do you know whether their death rates was overly high or if it worked?
I think it was not too bad, honestly, because Belarus in general is already quite a closed off country.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's quite cut off. It's not like it's got a lot of travel, so.
Yeah, it's like the. I mean, you need a visa to get in the first place, and you
No,
won't
okay.
easily get one. And I mean, for them, because it's generally known as the last dictatorship in Europe, I don't want to get into politics, but that's
Yeah.
just a statement that I've read that I know. I know that
Yeah.
Lukashenko is quite a authoritarian ruler. And I mean, for them, it's just easy to close the country off. No one gets in, no one gets out. That's it.
Which benefited the football.
It is, yeah. I mean, and there's never really been a stop on supporters in the stadium, and local life has never really been, you know,
That's
disrupted.
strange that that's, they've just avoided it, but that's, there you are.
I mean, good
There
on
you
them in this
are.
case, right?
Yeah, very good for the Belarusian football ultras.
Yeah.
They'd be very happy.
Like, yeah, and Bata Borisov probably running away with the league again.
Yeah, they seem to always, don't they, over there.
Yeah, I mean, but on to the next one. As you mentioned in your introduction, Belgium.
Belgium.
They've decided to, like the Netherlands and Scotland, stop the league. They have named a champion, Club Brugge, as you should say
Yep.
it, not Bruges.
Not Bruges, sorry. I'm glad
Club
I
Brugge,
didn't
they've been.
introduce it. I would have said Club Bruges.
Well, they've been named the champion, and that's basically the end of the story for Belgium.
Yeah. There was a bit of. I seen online a few arguments between Anderlecht and club. Not going
Yeah,
to say the other word in case you
Club
bite my
Brugge.
head up.
Yeah,
That's the one.
I mean the rivalry is quite intense, and
Yeah.
they weren't very happy with it. But on the other hand, the Belgian league system is—I cannot get into explaining it now because it's ridiculous and it's very
Yeah.
complicated. But they were going to win the league probably after the playoffs as well. So.
Yeah. So next on the list is the Bulgarian League, which you've got written down here, starting on the it started on the 5th of June, sorry.
So, like
And
Austria, it started again.
yeah, who's top there? Do you know?
Ludogorets.
Ludogorets, and they're the unpopular team, aren't they?
Yeah, so I have some insight in Bulgaria, and
You could say
I've lived there
that.
for a while, like studying abroad. And Ludogorets are like the team. I think they're similar to Red Bull Salzburg. In a way that they were like a small team. Like Red Bull Salzburg is a different story because they were Austria Salzburg, like one of the biggest teams in Austria, and they got taken over, completely changed their identity, turned into what they are now. Ludogorets, on the other hand, were just a small village team, and the local billionaire there decided to take over the club and invest millions and buy 20 Brazilians.
20
And
Brazilians.
there's many. They're from all over the world. They've had a few Dutch players in the past as well,
Yeah.
but they're winning the league. I think they're like around 10 points ahead of their next opposition in Lokomotiv Plovdiv, CSKA Sofia, and Levski Sofia, the few biggest and well-known teams in Bulgaria.
There we
Time will
go
tell.
then. Yeah, same old though.
Yeah.
Next on the list here, you've got Denmark, which restarted on the 28th of May.
Yeah, so they've already decided to restart in May, and Denmark is an interesting one because the Danish league, I mean, is not very well known with many people. Some people know like the big ones,
Yeah,
but not
Copenhagen,
Copenhagen, but
Michelin.
Midtjylland. I mean, we're both not
Yeah.
from Denmark, so that's the pronunciation is not going to be well. But
Nah.
speaking of Midtjylland, they are 9 points ahead right now on Copenhagen, so it could be interesting there. Let's see what happens in Denmark, but the way it's looking now is that Midtjylland are going to win the league. And on to Czechia.
Been to Czechia, have you?
I've been to Czechia. I've been to Prague, which was a very nice school trip.
Yeah.
They have restarted as well, and they have restarted on the 5th of June and the 23rd of May, excuse me. So even earlier, they've been like, I've been checking my football apps, and I don't know if you've noticed it, but they've been playing a lot and often.
I've not really seen much. But it's quite an early start, I think. Is it the earliest on this list? And obviously Belarus.
One of the earliest, yeah.
Yeah.
So the way it's looking now is that Slavia Prague are top of the league, 10 points ahead of Viktoria Pilsen, who are both of them running away with the league. But it looks like Slavia Prague will, after these playoffs, end up winning the league.
It's not bad, is it? Not bad for them out there.
Yeah.
We've got the first major league coming up now, which is the English Premier League,
Definitely.
all English football, which restarts on the 17th of June, and Aston Villa Sheffield United's the first game there. What's your prediction for that one?
Sheffield United.
Sheffield one? Yeah, I'm
Yeah,
with
I've
you there.
had
I
like
think it has to be Sheffield.
a very decent 1-0 to Sheffield.
It's typical Sheffield, isn't it?
A typical Villa.
Yeah, very true, very true. But England, it's been long in the works there for them to restart.
Yeah, I mean, the whole situation, and as you can say, in the UK right now is still quite bad.
England in particular, I mean, I know here in Scotland and Northern Ireland, the last 2 days up until now, there's been no new deaths, but England's just still racking them up.
Yeah, I
Of
mean,
course, you have to understand England has a hell of a lot more people.
yeah, true.
So, I mean, London has more than the whole of Scotland, so it's not overly surprising. And there seems to be a lot of footballers because they're doing, like, is it two or three tests a week on the players of the Premier League clubs? And there's
True.
been quite a few that
Yeah.
have tested positive.
Yeah, it's weird because to me it just seems like it's not the right thing to do. But I know like how much money is involved, and I mean if they tackle it carefully, like I think they've done in Germany, then should be good.
Yep.
And I don't really think we have to do a prediction on who's going to win the league.
I mean, should be an easy run for Liverpool.
Yeah, I'm really supporting them. I mean, they will get it done, but I hope they get it done.
Yeah, I mean, they're deserved champions, aren't they?
It was a long time coming, yeah. And it's good for my boys, Wijnaldum and Van Dijk. Support them as
Of
well.
course. And Andrew Robertson.
Of course. I was just
Can't
going to
forget
mention
about that.
him, don't worry.
Oh yeah, oh yes, can't forget him.
But yeah, on to France, which is also one of the five major leagues which sometimes gets forgotten about. Sorry, France. Just like Belgium, the Netherlands, and Scotland, they have also decided to cancel the league. They have, though, decided to say there's relegation, and also they've announced a champion.
I wonder who.
Unsurprisingly, PSG.
Really?
They have won the league.
Underdog stories, I love them.
Oh, I mean, we cannot get enough of them. We're
Nah.
both massive PSG fans, so
Of course.
let's get that out of the way there. And then on the other side of the table, Amiens and Toulouse have been relegated to Ligue 2. During the recording of this podcast, news came in that Amiens and Toulouse would not get relegated from Ligue 1, and therefore next season will play in Ligue 1 once again.
Toulouse are quite a big club to get relegated, aren't they?
Yeah, Toulouse is one of the major cities in France, and it's—I mean, I wouldn't say it's a shock because they have 13 points,
Yeah.
but it is a big team to get relegated from from Ligue 1, and I think they haven't been relegated in quite a while. But honestly, I also have to admit that I'm not the biggest fan of the French league.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
there's some nice teams in there.
There is. There is. Who's coming up, do you know?
We're going to Germany,
Germany,
which
fantastic.
we've
This is one
mentioned
that
in the
you're after.
introduction, yeah. Yeah, I'm a
Yeah.
massive German football fan.
Yeah, you are.
And I'm not a big fan of Bayern's dominance. But just the German football culture in general is very cool.
I mean, they were the first major league, in fact, the first on this list, aside from Belarus, to have started on the 16th of May. I know I tuned into the Borussia Dortmund Schalke game,
So did I,
and I
yeah.
was thoroughly underwhelmed.
Yeah, it's this is like the only league that I've actually started watching again, a bit, but it doesn't feel like it's the same.
It's not
And
the
for
same for the
me,
fans.
yeah, and you know, like I've told you many times before, but for me, German football is all about the stadiums, the fans, the
Yeah.
atmosphere.
Yeah.
And whenever I go to Germany to watch a football match, I hardly ever look at the football.
Oh yeah. You watch the fans. I mean, that was the
Yeah.
thing when I tuned into the Dortmund game. I mean, you watch Dortmund right now for two reasons: Erling Haaland and the fans, and Haaland scored after 10 minutes, so
Yeah.
there's no need to watch anymore.
Yeah,
There's no fan.
apart from that match, I haven't watched a lot of them. I haven't even tuned in to Bayern Dortmund because I couldn't really be bothered. And I've watched like some summaries of the games, but that's about it.
Yeah. I'm keeping an eye on it. I think I chose a Bundesliga team to keep an eye on when it all started up. It was FC Köln.
Yeah, which was surprising
So,
because I've always supported Borussia Mönchengladbach.
well, it's
And
just because I've been to Cologne.
I mean, they're big
It's as
rivals.
basic
Come
as
on,
that.
you should have
I
come
know, I
away.
know. Oh, well, you should have taken me to go see Mönchengladbach and not
That's,
Cologne.
I mean, Cologne is a beautiful city. Mönchengladbach is, yeah. That's pretty much it. It's not very interesting.
Yeah, there's not much to really say about Germany. The Bayern are going to win it.
Yeah.
As per.
Soon.
But yeah, on to Greece, which started the 6th of June. Tash, you've got a bit of knowledge on Greek football after seeing being in Thessaloniki when PAOK won the
Yeah,
title last year, yeah?
last year I was in Thessaloniki when PAOK won the league for the first time in a very long time. I cannot give you a precise number, but it was a very long time ago. The party in town was intense. It was massive. It was so cool to be a part of. This year will be a different story since Olympiacos are 14 points ahead. And Olympiacos will probably, after 2 seasons of not winning it, win the league again.
Yeah. Holding unstoppable in that league at the minute. So on to the next one, which
A big one.
was one of the worst hit countries when it comes to Corona. And
Lombardy.
it's Italy. Yeah, Italy, Lombardy was hit pretty bad, but Italy restart on the 20th of June with a Torino Parma game. Thoughts?
Interesting to see what's going to happen because, like you said, it was one of the most hit nations in the world. So for them, the restart will be like a quite an intense happening. I mean, everyone knows about Juventus and how good they are.
Course.
But looking at the league title, they are only 1 point ahead currently of Lazio, surprisingly. And then Inter follows with 54 points and a game in hand. And 54 points means that they're 9 points behind of Juventus. So it's still an interesting
All
situation.
to play for, yeah. All to play for, and there'll be a few. I mean, you never know, especially with all the what's going on at the minute. Players will miss games. Who test positive, so things like that could throw Juventus off a bit and lose some key players for a week or two, and that could affect results. And we could see a historic win from someone else other than Juventus.
Who
the
knows
first
about
time in a while, anyway.
Liverpool? Yeah, like another one, same as France and the same as in Germany. The leagues have kind of become a bit stale and boring. If I'd had to make a prediction right now, I'd say that Juventus are going to win the league. But I mean, hopefully not, just out of a neutral standpoint.
Of course. The next one we've got on the list is the Portuguese League, which started back on the 3rd of June. The first goal scored there was by Jesus Corona, which was an ironic one. But
It was good to see, wasn't it?
it was poetic, you could say.
I love some good irony. But like unsurprisingly, in Portugal, the league is being contested by Benfica and FC Porto, who are both on 60 points, with both of them not getting onto the best starts, with the last two games being two draws for Benfica and a draw and a loss for Porto. But I'd ha it I've, if we'd have to guess, we'd probably choose one of them to win the league.
Are you back in Porto or Benfica?
Was it Benfica last year?
Was, yeah.
Yeah, so let's do Porto this year.
I'll go Benfica because you said Porto.
Okay, great. No, we'll keep an eye on that until the end of the season.
Course. Next on the list, Poland started back 29th of May.
Yeah, so the Polish league as well, it's starting back. And one of the most recognizable names in Polish football is Legia Warsaw.
Course.
However you want to pronounce it, I'm not quite sure. Polish is not my my forte, but they're on top of the league with 8 points ahead of Piast Gliwice. So they're also on course for another league title. And in Poland, there's also like a playoff system. So going into that, they'll probably eventually end up winning it.
Looks like it anyway. The next one is Romania, which restarts on 12th of June. I don't know why you do this to me, but you've listed the first game,
Yeah,
and
I
it's a
want
bit
you
of
to try
a.
it. I want you to try it.
Do you? Okay, thanks for this. CS Universitatea Craiova versus Botoșani.
The second one is easier, isn't it?
The second one's just I'm assuming pronouncing how it's spelled, but the first one's a bit of a tongue twister. How's that pronounced then?
CS Universitate Craiova. That's
Craiova.
how I would
That was
say it.
close.
Yeah, but I'm also not Romanian, so yeah.
Well,
I know it has a bit of a Latin tongue to it, though.
Of course, it's kind of a bit Italian, isn't it?
So yeah, similar.
Romanian league, obviously embroiled in a lot of controversy in the last couple of decades with a lot of. Dodgy owners and as such, but they're starting to rebuild a name for themselves, aren't they?
Yeah, it's slowly getting back up there. For example, CFR Cluj, which I think is how you say it, is one of the main
Big
teams in
fans will
Romania
recognise
now.
them.
And also FCSB, formerly known as Steaua Bucharest. They're also like in there as well. There's
FC Vitoral.
oh yeah, there's so much more to say about these teams and about their histories. Although we do not have time to get into it now, but it could be
That
interesting
could be
for
a
another
separate
time. But
podcast.
Romanian football and Romanian, like the football culture, is very interesting. But if I'd have to say a team that's going to win the league now, it would be Cluj, simply because they're on top of the league right now. And yeah, limited knowledge of the league is kind of hindering me there.
Serbia started on the 29th of May. Much knowledge in Serbia?
Some. I mean, Red Star, Partizan, the big teams. I know that Red Star have been winning the league consistently for a few years now, and that Partizan have had some difficulties getting up there. I know that Red Star are miles ahead currently, and what they do in the Romanian league is they have 16 teams and they split it, Serbian, and they split it in two. And then they halve or like they reduct some of their points or whatever. I'm not quite sure. But believe me, Red Star are far ahead.
Okay, so better than Red Star. We've got the Spanish league, the last of the top five, restarting on the 11th of June, in the next 2 days. First game is Sevilla Real Betis.
Big derby game.
Another country that was hit quite badly, but it seems to have near enough recovered. Spain's opening back up on the 1st of July for tourism, and it looks as if they'll be going back to relative normality soon. So it's no surprise the football's back. And
Yeah, true.
if my memory serves me correctly, it was a bit close between Real and Barcelona just before all this finished, wasn't it?
I mean, it was. There's a small lead currently for Barcelona. They're 2 points ahead of their nearest rivals, Real Madrid. So it will still be an interesting battle to see who is going to end up on top. And the next team that follows is Sevilla, and after Sevilla, Real Sociedad. Just the entire top bit, after the second position, from number 3 to 7, is quite close. Valencia are 7th place with 42, and then Sevilla are 3rd with 47. It's a lot to play for still.
A lot to play for in that league. So following on the Swiss League, which is back on the 19th of June. The first game is between Young Boys and FC Zurich. Quite a big number that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's two big historic teams in Switzerland, and Young Boys have broken through the dominance of Basel recently, because Basel have been consistently winning the league for a very long time. In the last few seasons, Young Boys have picked up the title, but surprisingly, even though it's on goal difference, the current league leader in Switzerland is St. Gallen.
Oh,
If that rings a bell.
yeah. I've had a wee football save in Switzerland or so.
All right. Football Manager
Yeah.
always brings people
Oh, yeah, it
together.
was actually with FC Zurich. So I'm kind of hoping Young Boys win because it didn't end very well with Zurich. But
I mean, Young Boys are like top. Well, they're second, but on goal difference. So,
yeah.
chances are they're eventually going to end up winning the league.
I wouldn't be overly surprised. Final league is the Turkish league, which restarts on the 12th of June with another nice complicated couple names for me here
Yeah,
to try and pronounce.
there's two as well, so good luck there.
Two first games. The first one is between Fenerbahce and Kayserispor.
Well, not too bad.
And another game is between Göztepe and Trabzonspor.
Yeah, the latter, Trabzonspor, currently leading the league on goal difference. In second place, Istanbul Başakşehir. A relatively new player on the stage.
That's where Gael Clichy plays, isn't it?
Yeah, they have a very interesting team. I think they've also got Robinho currently in their squad.
Is that Fabinho?
Yeah, and
Oh,
Skrtel is there, I think, as well.
wow.
It's and maybe Arda Turan.
Arturo.
Skrtel, Clichy, there is there. They have Gökhan İnler, Mehmet Topal, and
Pretty decent side there.
Elia, if you remember him, Dembélé, Robinho, Frederik
Strawberry salad.
Gulbrandsen. It's an interesting team. It's like and then mixed in with many other Turkish players.
This always happens with the Turkish league. I remember they had there was a team, was it Anzhi or something along those lines,
Oh
and they
no,
were signed.
they're Russian.
No, it wasn't. Was it the Russian one?
Yeah,
Was
Anzhi
it
is
then?
there. It was like this
It
Russian team
was.
that
Yeah, you're
signed
right.
like everyone,
Russian.
like
I just
Etiyor.
remember they signed Samuel Eto'o. It just kind of faded into obscurity after that.
Yeah, they got, I mean, financial trouble and whatso. But Galatasaray, 3rd place, 50 points, and then Besiktas, 5th place, 44 points. Fenerbahce, 7th place, 40 points. So
So there you are.
it could be an interesting end to the
Could
season
go
with
anywhere.
with an unexpected league champion.
So to round off our inaugural guest, we're going to have a few bold early predictions from myself and Matthias. So, Matthias, I'll ask you just now, who do you think will win the top five leagues and the Dutch league? So we'll start off with the Dutch league next year. Who are you backing?
I mean, my hope is PSV with our new coach Roger Schmidt, who had many successes with Red Bull Salzburg. But that's what my heart says. My head says Ajax.
Yeah, it's hard to deny Ajax at the minute. So onto the top five leagues, we'll start off with the more boring ones, we could say. We'll start off with the French league.
PSG.
Italian.
Juventus. I hope Inter, but I think they might have a
Yeah.
shot.
They might give them a run for their money, but it's free event, isn't
Yeah.
it? Going on to the German league.
Bayern.
Spanish league.
Barcelona.
And topping it off with the English.
I would hope Liverpool can retain their title, but if the planned acquisitions of Chelsea go through, I think they would have a good shout. And I mean, Manchester City and all the other teams, I mean, everyone could win the league there. That's just the difficult part.
I'm much the same. When you're looking at France, Italy, and Germany, exact same answer. Same
Yeah.
with Spain, Barcelona. I'll be in Barcelona next year, of course. So I'd be hoping they would win the league. It'd be quite
That
nice
would
to
be
be
cool.
in the city. The Scottish League, Celtic. It's hard to say against, but it'll
Yeah.
be an interesting one to keep your eye on because Rangers will probably try and put everything they can in to stop the ten.
True,
And they
true.
already have tried to do a bit of that. They've signed Ianis Haggie for throwing a bit of money around with that
Yeah,
one.
I've seen that. That's a very interesting signing.
Good signing. On to the English League. I think I agree with you, Chelsea. I mean, Timo Werner, Hakim
Yeah, and
Ziyech,
believe
they'll
me,
have
like,
Christian Pulisic, who's just he's tightening his feet.
believe me, Hakim Ziyech is such a
Oh,
good
yeah.
player, and everywhere where he went, like when he was playing at Heerenveen, he was the best player. When he was playing at Twente, he was the best player. When he was playing at Ajax, he was the best player.
Yeah.
Just his technique, his vision, his ball control,
And he can play a few positions. He can play on the wing and midfield as well, can't he?
He's a versatile player, and he has a lot of assets to really make it big in the Premier League. I'm backing him to do so.
Yeah. I mean, I could see if you look at up top, Werner, three behind him, you'd have Ziyech left, probably Mount in the middle, Pulisic on the right, and then behind them, strong defensive double of Kante and Jorginho. I mean, it's pretty good side they've got there. So I would quite like to see Chelsea win. It would be a bit a change from the norm of Man City and Liverpool at the minute. But again, Liverpool, if they improve that midfield, who's to stop them?
Yeah, I mean, they're just so solid, so good, and so consistent
Yeah.
that it's terrifying if you're not a Liverpool fan, and it's
Yeah.
terrifying if you're afraid of another situation like Germany, like France and Italy,
Yeah. I
which
mean, I
I
suppose the
would.
good thing, the only way to avoid that in England is the money and other
Yeah,
clubs
that's what
look
I
at.
was just going to say. I think it would be very unlikely
Yeah.
for something like that to happen in England. Same thing with like Newcastle. Imagine what could happen there.
Well, yeah, if they get there's talk of the big owners coming in there. Who knows what could.
Yeah. But I think a good topic to leave this podcast on is the English Premier League, and to continue on in maybe the next podcast, which is soon to follow.
Soon to follow her next week.
Definitely.
We hope. Yeah. For anyone that's listened through all that, we'll be back next week. And yeah, stay safe.
Yeah, stay home for as long as you have to now. Make sure that you're healthy. Make sure that you don't go out if you're sick. It's important right now to combat this pandemic and to eventually get back to the football stadium.
Exactly. Oh, goodbye.
thank you so much for listening, and we hope to have you back again with us next week.